Monster Movie Media presents.
Greetings and welcome to episode 70 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, we discuss the recent announcement of a sequel to Maleficent and a live-action adaptation of the Night on Bald Mountain segment from Fantasia. And we also have a general roundtable discussion about the future of Disney's films. Before we get into that, I would like to put out a reminder that Creepy Kingdom is going on break. This will be our last episode until July 31st, 2015. So don't worry, the show's not going anywhere. We'll be back with so much fun and excitement. But as of right now, we're right here ready to go. So
let's begin.
Welcome to another edition of Creeping Soon on the Creepy Kingdom podcast. I am joined by Adam Leonard. Hello.
Hey, hey.
Cupcake Terror.
Hello, everybody.
And Roxy Tart.
The evil queen of Creepy Kingdom.
I skipped everyone's titles, you know, but you wouldn't let me.
You did skip the title.
I'm not skipping my title. I earned that title. Bow down, peasants.
Wow. quite a tone to start off this lighthearted.
It's that kind of day, y'all. I'm channeling my Maleficent. That's what we're talking about today. Okay. Like, we're talking about, like, Chernabog and Maleficent, and I'm channeling my evilness.
Okay. That's fine. I was going to say, I thought this was a lighthearted Disney podcast. I didn't know.
Quiet.
You thought wrong.
I thought wrong.
Well, I personally don't stand on airs, so I don't mind, James.
All right. Appreciate it.
Through the dungeon with you.
Well, Adam, what was your title? I don't remember what it was.
I think last we stood, I was like Admiral of like the Creepy Navy or something like that.
Nice.
Admiral of the Creepy Navy. All right. And
Wait a minute. We have a Navy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do now.
Awesome.
How do you think we stay safe from all from all the haters out there? All three of them, but most people love this podcast. It's so likable. We have a lot of fun. But anywho, so
can I hate. Check it out.
We have to bribe Adam to come on the show and actually talk. We bribe him with cookies.
We have
milk.
Cookies.
Creepy milk and cookies.
Creepy milk and cookies, yeah.
Pizza.
I don't want any creepy milk. No, thank you.
All right, I need to steer this ship back on course. No, we've gathered together today to talk about the news of two upcoming Disney films, which could potentially be Creepy Kingdom classics. But just wanted to dive into them. It was recently announced that in development, a sequel to 2014's Maleficent and a live-action adaptation of A Night on Bald Mountain from Fantasia. So let's start off with this Maleficent 2 news. Our resident newsreader.
Handing it over to Roxy Tart.
Yeah, Roxy
News
Tart.
Correspondent
Roxy Tart, live from the scene.
Thank you so much, James. The news on Maleficent 2 is that Linda Wolverton, who wrote last year's hit live-action fairy tale, is in talks to return for the follow-up. Disney is revamping up development for a Maleficent sequel. As I said, Linda Wolverton, the same one who wrote the first one, is going to write the second one, according to The Wrap. She will write the script with the expectation that Angelina Jolie will reprise the title role in the live-action fairy tale, although there is not yet a deal in place. Joe Roth will return to produce Maleficent, but the director is not going to return. It'll be a different director. So far, we have the same producer and the same writer, but no Angelina Jolie and a different director. So basically, we have a script and no movie.
Right. I mean,
this just sounds like it's going to fail. So much fail right now. I mean, Angelina Jolie has already talked about no longer acting, so...
Really? I didn't hear about this. What is this news? Mm-hmm. She's quitting acting? Yeah.
No, she's not quitting acting. She's retiring from acting so that she can work behind the camera more. There's been nothing from her camp about her reprising a role, let alone coming out of retirement, to do this. So that's like the big, like, stopping point right now.
So she officially has retired. I totally didn't hear this news at all.
No, because she's making a movie right now.
I knew she was directing.
Is she doing one now? No, she's directing. I don't think she's starring in anything right now.
By the Sea from Universal. She stars opposite Brad Pitt.
Oh, maybe it's her last movie.
It might be. It's in post-production.
Aren't those guys married?
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Those two are married, right? Right? Yeah.
Yes. They're married.
See, as a rule, it bugs me.
Is still a thing.
Well, go ahead, Adam.
I said, as a rule, it bugs me when celebrities do this because, you know, I hate it whenever anybody says, well, I'm going to retire from what I'm doing, because they never, ever, ever actually hold up to that. It's always like, oh, I'm going to totally do this, and then a year or two go down the line, and then they totally go back to it. It's kind of like J.K. Rowling saying she's never going to do another Harry Potter book. You could say that. It's probably not going to happen. I mean, you're not going to hold up to that, though, I don't think. I don't think Angelina Jolie is going to retire. I think she's probably going to take a couple years off, make a couple of films that she likes behind the camera, but she'll never be drawn back out in front of the camera again.
Yeah.
Maybe Maleficent will be that one for her.
Yeah, that could be.
So we could pretty much... right off the bat, say there's no way this film's being made without Angelina Jolie. I mean,
I don't think it should be.
Not should. That's a different conversation. But we're saying there's no way it's going to be. Like, obviously, it should not be. But
well, it's tough to say. It really depends the size of the rocks Disney's got, because they may believe in their own.
Yeah,
they might believe they could replace Angelina Jolie. Like, they may think that.
I don't think that.
That would be a bad, bad decision.
Well,
so what they should do is they should just focus on, like, another character as the main point of the sequel and reuse the Angelina Jolie stuff from the first one. Like, maybe delete it and stuff like that, and they can just CGI her into the movie.
What if Maleficent's just like a dragon the entire film?
Oh, there we go.
That would be an awesome cop out, but that would be...
I like it. It works.
Well, yeah, well,
it goes along with the whole like dinosaur thing going on right now. So, yeah, perfect. That's perfect.
Well, let's take a little step back here. So, three of us have seen Maleficent. One of us have not.
We won't name names.
Guess who? No,
Adam.
No, I'm totally proud of the fact I haven't seen it.
So, yeah, I mean, it sounded like shaming, but it's just a fact. So, but the question remains, when I first heard of this, I was kind of perplexed because I thought, I mean, it came out of nowhere, there's that, but there's also, you know, where's the story going to go? You know, like, they kind of wrapped it up, you know, and it didn't really leave me going like, man, I wonder what happens in the next scene, you know. You know, but I really enjoy the film. Obviously, a big advocate. I've done episodes on the show arguing for it in its defense. But one thing that the two major criticisms I had of the film, one was that Maleficent wasn't the dragon. That was a cop out. Adam, you didn't know that, but
okay, fair enough. No dragon.
She's not the dragon. Like in the animated film, Maleficent becomes the dragon, but that's not what happens in the live action film.
Good to know.
And that was very disappointing to me. And the period in which Maleficent was evil in the film was probably about 3 to 5 minutes max, I guess. And
yeah, I had a huge problem with that too, James.
Yeah,
I feel you.
And they pretty much set the movie up to like they advertised as though like that was going to be the majority of the film, you know. So my thoughts.
No, they made her a victim.
Yeah, which
is total
bull pucky.
Yeah, she just can't be evil for the sake of being evil. You know, that's kind of what we here at Creepy Kingdom wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we like our villains to be evil. We don't like our villains to be victims who came evil because someone did them wrong.
There's not necessarily anything wrong with fleshing out a villain by giving them more motive and background. It's just kind of a cop-out then to go like, but then they ultimately turn good. There's nothing wrong saying that there's a bunch of tragic things that happened and they just go full evil because of it.
Right.
It makes the character more interesting.
I don't want my villains to always be victims, especially
sure.
the women, my women villains. I don't want it to be, I was victimized by a man and now I'm a villain.
That's a very
give
fair
me
point.
Something else.
Yeah. So
exactly.
Yeah. Essentially she was betrayed by the one that she loved. those scenes where she was evil, like I absolutely loved it. And it actually made the movie for me, you know? And, my first thought was when they're doing the sequel is like, okay, I don't know where the story's going, but I want to see a whole movie of that time period where she was evil.
And they might, like, who knows it. You know, they could do if she didn't sign on to come back, an interesting way to do another Maleficent movie would actually be to do a prequel and make it a movie about when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like they could do that. They could do it inside where the movie was. You're totally right. Or they could make it what happens afterwards. I always want to know what happens afterwards. I'm the kind of person who, like, if I find a book and there's only one book, I might not read it because I want, like, 8 books in the series.
Right, you
want
to keep it
going. I always want to know what happens next. So if they've got an idea for a script, bring it on. I want to know.
The other thing is that last year when Jim Hill was on the show, he had mentioned that there was a huge chunk of the script that was taken out of the beginning of the movie.
Right.
Which gave a little more background on and some more setup and background. So that may be the case where maybe that's what this is about. And maybe Angelina Jolie is not even in it because it's her as a teenager.
I do not want to watch a movie about a teenage Maleficent. I have to draw the line there. That is not something that I want to see. It is not something that interests me. I want the evil Maleficent. I want what was left out of the first movie. I do not want to watch her as a teenager going through hormone changes with her big pair of wings.
All right. Maleficent becomes a Brooklyn cop. Teamed up with Chris Tucker, hilarity ensues.
I love it.
I would totally buy tickets to that movie.
I would go see that. I still wouldn't see Maleficent 1, but I would definitely be day one to listen to.
I got an idea. Why don't we make her an Avenger?
Oh, shit.
We'll make her an Avenger. A Maleficent 2 will actually be her Avengers origin story, and then she'll end up in Avengers 4. Okay. It'll be awesome. Her and Falcon can like team up. Fly around together. Yeah.
There's actually this movie made by one of those like really bad, like, you know, those companies that like just live to make knockoff movies of popular movies these days.
Mm-hmm. There is called porn.
They're straight to VOD, not home video at this point. But they're similar titles to popular films that are currently in theaters, so a uninformed person like, oh, that's that movie that I think I wanted to see. And then
there's totally one on Netflix. It's called, I believe, like The Grim Avengers, which is like the concept of the Avengers set during fairy tale times with a bunch of like
really?
Fairy tale characters comprising the team.
I feel the need to watch skin. This.
I need to look this up.
What I feel the need to watch this movie.
I think it's called Grim Avenger. I know it has Grim and it has Avengers in it. It's a bunch of fairy tales fighting against Rumpelstiltskin. That's what I know.
Oh, Adam, you just made my day. Like, that's fabulous.
Oh yeah. My gosh, I found it. This is bad.
Wow.
Katie and I know what we're doing tonight.
Well, back to Maleficent.
Yes.
We'll check that out later. But
you know what? I will see the movie. If it actually happens, whether Angelina Jolie is in it or not, whether it's about her as a teenager or a sequel or a kid, I will totally see it. Because my favorite part of the movie was the visuals. Mm-hmm. It was so pretty that the story could have been absolute crap and I wouldn't have cared. It was just so pretty. So I will totally see another Maleficent movie. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was very nice to look at. I don't know. What do you think the story could go? Like, if it's going to go after the events of Maleficent.
Well, just her taking over the world.
In the end of the first movie, like, they vanquish King Stefan or something like that. And then Aurora comes to, like, live with Maleficent, basically, right?
Yeah, they live in the moors. That's the magical place
so
where she comes from. Yeah.
What if the next movie was about Aurora being queen and her and Maleficent, like, rule and they have to protect their kingdom that they've now unified against an outside force?
I mean,
but then it's getting too much like Once Upon a Time. And good and evil can't work together. It's already been proven. Evil just wins. Every time.
I want to live in your world.
My world is pretty awesome, guys.
No, dude. Oh, it's like the Avengers. They have to protect their kingdoms against Rumpelstiltskin.
What if, like, Disney started building, like, a Disney cinematic universe?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if that's a good idea, but, you know, it seems to be working just fine for Marvel. Let's say Disney picks up that it might be a viable thing for their property.
Let's hold on to that thought. Let's hold on to that till later, because that's a different, you know, I'll make a note of that. So that
I'm so excited about this thought. We have to do a whole other show just talking about that.
The DCU. Okay. So. Yeah. So, to Maleficent. So, Adam, so you said you haven't seen Maleficent.
Nope.
What was it about it that turned you off to not want to see it to begin with?
Well, okay, so let's maybe take a step back, because perhaps I need to take a moment and kind of qualify, because, you know, we're all Disney fan boys and girls here. I mean, that's a given. We're sitting here spending, like, hours of our day talking about Disney. I should probably qualify my, like, fandom a little bit.
Okay.
I definitely come into, like, the Disney fanboy more from the theme park angle. I mean, obviously, I worked at Disney, so that's pretty evident. But I've always been I've always been really into their theme parks. That's kind of where I come from.
Okay.
I saw a lot of the movies when I was a kid, and I haven't seen a ton of them since. It's kind of now kind of on the a la carte. Like, if something really strikes my interest, like Wreck-It Ralph or what's the one, Big Hero 6, I definitely will go see something if it looks good to me. But if it doesn't really give me anything that says that I need to see this. And this, well, it gives just like this, like, I didn't dislike the idea. I wasn't a hater on Maleficent. It looked fine. And, you know, if somebody else was watching it, I'd probably watch it with them. I just never really had a strong desire nor reason that I have to personally go see this.
Okay. So, you don't watch every new Disney movie that comes out.
I've never seen Frozen. Truth be told, I've never seen Frozen.
Well, that's another topic.
Okay. Anyways, I am very much like Disney has to give me a reason to want to see something. I haven't seen Tomorrowland, but I plan on seeing that soon because that looks cool. So it's kind of a case-by-case basis with me.
No, that makes perfect sense.
Alrighty. So
you're kind of the opposite of a lot of the Disney fans out there who are huge movie fans and have never even been to a park.
Right.
That's probably most people, actually, if you think about it, because most people don't live near parks.
Poor people.
Truth be told, you tell me you're making a Maleficent movie, and it's like, that's fine, that's cool. You tell me you're making some kind of high-tech Maleficent ride, I definitely need to see that. That's kind of like, that's probably the best way to kind of describe where I'm coming from.
I got you. No worries. So I was going to ask what would take you to be interested in a sequel, but
we'll just invite him over. We'll have popcorn and hot dog pizza.
There we go.
It's cool. We got this.
All right. Well, I think that'll wrap it up on Maleficent. We don't know too much. They got the writer and the producer. Don't have Angelina Jolie. And we just got the news that they're working on one, which is kind of crazy. I mean, it was financially successful. That's why they're doing it, obviously. But story-wise, it doesn't seem like a film that needs a sequel.
Right.
You know, like I really feel they wrapped it up, you know, like
every film needs a sequel, James. I mean, every film.
Maybe what you want is an after credit scene. You know, that's what you're talking about.
No, the truth is that I'm more of a television fan than I am a movie fan, mm-hmm. because I want, you know, 7 seasons of 22 episodes each of this story that I'm watching, not a 2-hour movie. Like, yeah. I'm a TV girl.
You don't want it to leave. You want it to stay with you.
Yes, I want to stay. I want to fall in love with these people and be a part of their lives and share their adventures. Lots of them. Lots of adventures.
Some people only have one adventure.
That sucks.
Roxy sounds like a stalker. But instead of people, she stalks television shows.
I do. You don't think I do? Like, yeah, we don't need to get into that right now with my fangirlness of certain TV shows. Shh.
Yeah, we'll save it for another show. All right, so let's move on to the other news that I'd mentioned, is that we have a live-action adaptation of Night on Bald Mountain. We sent Roxy Tart live on the scene to report.
Hello there, Creepy Kingdom. Once again, I don't have much in the way of news on the Night of Bald Mountain live adaptation, but we are apparently getting one. Matt Sosma and Burke Sharpless will write the script based on Night on Bald Mountain segment of Disney's 1940s animated film. Disney is conjuring up a live-action movie based on the Night on Bald Mountain sequence from the studio's animated classic, Fantasia. Matt and Burke will write the script for the project, which is an early development at the studio, based on the animated film. The hot writing duo is also executive producing the film. The Night on Bald Mountain sequence section of Fantasia, for those of you who don't know, and I don't know why you wouldn't if you're listening to this show, centered on a dark-winged creature named Chernabog who raises spirits from the dead. They dance, fly through the air, and enjoy a night of mayhem until they fade away as the night ends and the sun begins to rise. So, yeah.
So.
It'll be live action, just like Maleficent and, you know, Cinderella and all of that. The guys that are writing it have done other, like, horror-ish movies, dark fairy tales, that kind of thing. That's it, though. That's all we got on it. Just who's writing it and producing it.
Another writing-producing news, but... when this news hit, when I first came across it, I thought it was a lie. I thought it was fake, actually. Because I was like... Which we're going to get to a little bit, the slew of upcoming Disney films that are coming up, like, this doesn't really fit into at all. And I was like, they don't seem to be going in this type of direction whatsoever. Just in case anyone hasn't seen the Night on Bald Mountain, sequence or part of Fantasia, this sequence is so dark and creepy and just pure evil with no redeeming value whatsoever. It is amazing. It is beautiful. As far, obviously, my favorite part of Fantasia by far, but it is definitely one of my favorite Disney things ever, and, you know, one of the sole, you know, definitely a reason that a podcast like this exists. You know, is the so, but there really isn't too much of a story in there. It's just, you know, like, yeah, like they said, demons raising from the ground is. Basically what we got there. So
I'm interested. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, on the plus side, because there's not a whole lot of story, it means they can basically do whatever they want. if I was the one writing it, that would really excite me to have just all of this open, you know, creativity and whatnot. And it means that they can't ruin the story for us.
They'll find a way.
Yeah. I have to agree with James there. They will find a way.
But there is no story to ruin.
They could make Chernabog a victim and then make him evil.
I'm just afraid it's going to go like Sorcerer Apprentice route, and we're going to get like a squinty eyed like Jay Baruchel going like, "What do you mean? There's a demon?" Whoa.
Oh no, I hope not.
I will.
Nicolas Cage is Chernabog.
No, oh god, that's my worst nightmare. Adam, that's my worst nightmare.
Wow. Yeah, let's take a step back there. Who here has seen the Sorcerer's Apprentice from about 5 years ago?
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah. I have seen most of it. Yes.
Okay. I have not seen it. I was.
Don't do it, James.
I was not. I was never interested in watching it because, yeah, I just like, come on, guys.
I liked it.
All right. Cool.
Sorry, I did. I liked it. I'm a huge Nick Cage fan. I liked it.
I joke, but I think what I'm trying to get at is that it's got my interest because definitely, much like you, James, it, you know, when I saw that, I was an impressionable young kid, and it really made an impact as being really scary. So this is something that I'm interested, but context is everything, because it's hard to get too excited or too worried about it, because who knows what it's going to be at this point.
Yeah.
I know that the writers did, like, the hot writing duo, quote-unquote, were the ones behind Dracula, Dracula?
Untold.
Was that the one that came out last year?
Yeah.
That looked crappy and that everyone hated.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah. It's like, that's kind of like, hot writing duo.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are they sure that they're like looking at the correct writing duo? Because that movie was not good. It was pretty, but it was good.
Rope and Guillermo del Toro. You've already got him working on a Haunted Mansion film. Maybe you could roll him into a contract to do Night on Bald Mountain.
That would be brilliant.
Here's the thing, I guess, with Guillermo is that let's just get him to finally make the Haunted Mansion movie. Let's not keep throwing more things to slow him down. You know, his new movie that is coming out, Crimson something, drawn a blank, Peak, looks pretty sweet. But that's fine. But I don't want to throw more on his plate. But,
that's true. We need him to concentrate on that Haunted Mansion movie. So why don't we just do what we do with all the other movies and give it to Tim Burton.
Yay!
Tim Burton, Night on Bald Mountain.
Everything in stripes. Johnny Depp is Chernabog.
People need to stop giving Tim Burton things. I love his early work. He was one of my favorite directors growing up, but his head has gone so far up his backside at this point that until he takes a moment to pull it out, I don't think he's incapable of making any good work.
James, you know how when we started talking about this, you said that you thought it was a joke?
Yeah.
You thought it wasn't real, or not necessarily a joke, but you thought it wasn't real?
This is false, yeah.
Basically, after hearing that Tim Burton is doing Dumbo, I will believe that they are doing almost anything live action. There's nothing they could say that could surprise me. Night on Bald Mountain? Sure. Why not?
Now, I'm in favor of Tim Burton's Dumbo simply because it's going to be such a glorious train wreck, whatever comes out of that, that I just desperately got to see what that is.
But I do need to interject. I will speak on Tim Burton's defense, is that I'm a huge advocate for Frankenweenie. I thought that movie was perfect.
So, well, like I said, I love Tim Burton. Edward Scissorhands, like Plan 9 from Outer Space, you know, Beetlejuice. I mean, he is an amazing director. I just think that these days he's been told yes too many times and had too much money thrown at him. I don't think he's capable of producing work on the same level he used to be.
Like I said,
I'm totally 100% voting Johnny Depp for Chernabog at this point. Like,
I don't want a human being playing Chernabog.
No, in stripes. I want the whole Bald Mountain to be black and white stripes.
All right.
And like Helena Bonham Carter will play the head of the horde.
She will play the mountain. She will be Bald Mountain.
All right, now I'm on. Now I'm in.
No, you got this. You guys, they should call us. Why aren't we involved in this movie?
So now if they do this, I hope we get PG-13 at least. I mean, I think that...
I have to imagine that, yeah. Well, it's tough. It's tough because, as they're saying, is it going to go PG-13 like we hope, or is it going to be like, I don't know, like those movies? Isn't The Rock in some Disney movies not that long ago?
Race to Witch Mountain, yeah, I think it was. Yeah, the one they remade.
Yeah. I didn't see that, but you know, that seemed not that scary. Maybe it was.
It was pretty good. I mean,
the original
was a decent
remake. Scary.
But...
Yeah. What is like the last PG-13 movie Disney's done? Do they have a PG-13 movie under their belts?
All the pirates are PG-13.
I guess that's probably true. Yeah, I think you're right on that.
Wasn't it? It might have been the last Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
It's the Pirates movies. Yeah, all the Pirates movies are PG-13. Adam is correct.
John Carter.
That was PG-13.
Okay. Prince of Persia.
So they're definitely capable of making PG-13 films.
Yeah, was Oz the Great and Powerful PG-13?
Was what?
Oz the Great and Powerful.
I don't think so.
Okay.
We shouldn't even reference that film. I think we should take that out.
Wow. Some hater on Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yes. That was anyhow, I'm going to shut up.
I did actually see that movie.
I think the last PG-13 one they made was Saving Mr. Banks.
Was that PG-13?
It was.
Really? Okay.
Why was it PG-13?
I don't know. Do you want me to look it up?
For being really depressing.
Well, it would have to be for language and how angry Emma Thompson's character was. What's her? I forgot her name. She was just an angry woman in the movie.
But she never used profanity, though. She was a woman.
It was rated PG-13 for thematic elements, including some unsettling images.
AKA being really depressing.
What unsettling images?
It must have been the flashback scenes.
The rating boards are so crappy.
Yeah, the Saving Mr. Banks would have been their last one, I think. But the Lone Ranger, John Carter, all the Pirates movies, Prince of Persia, were all PG-13.
I don't know. I basically said it's really open the air what this movie is going to be. But I think the news of this coming out asks another interesting question. You know, is this a return to dark Disney? You know, that's what
I'm Please give us a Black Cauldron movie.
Oh. Yes. Heck yes.
You know, yes. Let's return to dark Disney. Let's do Night on Bald Mountain and let's remake the Black Cauldron live. And they should remake Watcher in the Woods. That movie was super creepy.
Oh, that is a creepy movie, yeah.
Can I insert kind of like a valid thought / concern on my part maybe about Disney's general direction is dark Disney, yes, but maybe Disney, could you, I don't know, come up with like a completely new original dark IP rather than kind of plunking back through like your entire library and going like, well, we can pluck this out and do that again. We can pluck this out.
That's a lot of thinking.
Well, I know. I'm challenging Disney here, but.
Well, I let's get into it. I wanted to kind of bring this up a little bit about what's coming up. Down the line here, it seems that you know that most of the films that they have scheduled to come out are like, you know, are really can't misses. You know, they're not really experimenting too much. There's a few films here and there, but as you know, essentially Maleficent, you know, made a lot of money, and that was very exciting and interesting to see what take they would do, telling the same story from different perspectives. Cinderella came out, was very successful as well, and I feel like that was kind of like, well, we're just going to do that now, because
take them all.
Because at this point right now, we've got, Beauty and the Beast, The Jungle Book, it's an Alice sequel, but I'm not even counting that. But Peach Dragon that have release dates and that don't have release dates is Mulan, Pinocchio, and a Tinkerbell movie.
And Dumbo,
I'm sorry, of course.
I think the closest thing that they have coming up to a creepy Disney movie, well, could be creepy, but at least in the creepy vein, that is a original idea is the Day of the Dead movie.
Right, which does that doesn't have a date at all, right? Yeah, no, that's a,
it doesn't even have a name.
It's a Pixar movie, yeah. It's going to be Pixar, so that's, you know.
A Day of the Dead movie? Didn't somebody already come out with that?
Yeah, they had one last year.
Book of Life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was a really cute movie.
Disney has one coming out. They have one in pre-production. So, but I think that's honestly like the closest thing right now that we have to an original dark Disney anything.
Well, you don't know. Moana could have some creepy parts, and that's an original.
I know. You say Milan?
No,
Moana.
Oh, these are Milan. I was like, what? Moana actually is the only real gamble, it looks like, for the most part, between most of their upcoming films, because it's also, I believe, a 2D or hand-drawn animation film, which they
It's a new princess as well, so that's a big one.
Which they have not dared to venture into, which I don't think they've done a 2D movie since Prince and the Frog. It could be, or hand-drawn, I mean. I could be wrong on that, but I don't remember.
No, Princess and the Frog was the last one. Yeah.
It seems as that when they gamble, they do something, as I'm talking in the past few years, when they do something that's not a sure thing, it seems to be like a huge financial failure, like every time. And I think, like, regardless of the, you know, the quality of the films, you know, that's all subjective, but they seem to be, you know, not marketed well, or and so they fail. And
no, look at Wreck-It Ralph and Big Hero 6.
What about them? Doesn't fail.
They're amazing movies, but they're not getting the push or the attention that they. I mean, they did well, but they didn't do great.
Yeah. But they didn't fail. Like they, you know, I'm talking.
They're not like John Carter.
Like John Carter, which, you know, I thought it was an okay movie. I didn't think it was like a complete failure of a movie, you know. And their recent failure, Tomorrowland. Which
don't even get me started on that.
Which is trickle. I mean, well, we can get started on it because.
Okay.
I was saying, you know, that movie did really poor, and then, you know, it's not everyone. They didn't say it was because of this, but it was immediately, like the few days afterwards, they canceled Tron 3. You know, and it's like obviously that was related. I don't know why, because it's not the same movie, but you know, same genre, I guess, for as far as Disney films go.
I'm not sure that was related. That was a rumor that went around. I don't.
What was the rumor? Tron 3 was in production, and then they officially canceled it.
Yeah, but I mean, they canceled it 3 days later. 3 days after it came out. That just seems way too close for them to be like, oh, this did not do good opening weekend. We're going to scrap this whole movie.
I don't know. It seems
like there's a lot more reason that Tron 3 was canceled.
It's possible, but I think movie studios work that way all the time.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I definitely agree with James. I think it's fairly easy to put A to B on that. I mean, it's kind of a twofold problem because, I mean, I can sit there and blame Disney for just, like, you know, rehashing stuff, but there's, like, two sides of that coin because it's kind of like the viewing audience, when Disney does something kind of safe and sure, the Disney audience rewards them for that. When Disney tries to take a leap out and do something different, you know, the Disney audience is indifferent. I mean, so it's kind of cause and effect.
Yeah, because most of the Disney audiences are filled with people that are complete morons and no imagination.
The views and opinions of Cupcake Terror
are not the views and opinions of Creepy Kingdom. No.
Or officiants or associates or...
I'm kidding. No. I don't mean that as like a slight to anybody, but you know, Adam is right in that respect. Tomorrowland was a good movie. And I was more frustrated with certain aspects of it, but he's right. The safe movies seem to get more recognition because people just can't use that imagination to see beyond, oh, well, good versus evil, done.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with marketing, too, because we can bring this up with Tomorrowland. I've seen
poor Tomorrowland's marketing was terrible. Yep. It was absolutely terrible.
I mean, the problem about it, which it literally didn't say anything what the movie was at all. And
right.
As for me personally, I was already in, so it didn't matter. But to Joe Public, you know, it's like, what is this? I don't know.
Yeah, no one knew what it was about until it came out.
It was almost as if it was like made and marketed for like the hardcore Disney geek, and unfortunately, there's not enough. That's not enough people to make your film successful.
Very true.
No, not at all. I mean, that's been proven time and time again. We kind of live in a bubble as Disney fans. But the thing, the sad truth is that when it comes to the current films and even things within the theme parks, they're not trying to convince us to like it. They know they already got us. They're going after the bigger families, the big picture, you know, mm-hmm. like, so they're, I mean, you know, that's my opinion, which may not express.
Well, I think Tomorrowland had another big problem because it handled so many issues that are very important in today's world and our society and how humans as people are affecting the world and what's going to happen to us in the future. And I think people have a problem with that. And one of the reasons why it didn't go over as well as it could have. So,
Well, yeah, I mean, the story is challenging. It also, Adam, you haven't, and Roxy, you guys haven't seen it, right?
Not yet, unfortunately.
I know you haven't seen it, Roxy, right?
No, I haven't. Sorry.
Sorry to ask you a question.
I forgot. Everybody can't see me shaking my head. My bad.
I saw you. It's okay.
Hey. No, I really want to see it. I am dying to see it. I just don't get the opportunity to go to the movies very often, so I have to be, like, super picky about what I get to go and see. But yeah, no, I totally agree with you, James. The marketing for it was terrible. It would have been better if it had better marketing. It would have had a better turnout if it had had better marketing. Goodness gracious, what is wrong with my speech?
Well, I mean, there was, you know, it's tough because, like, I don't, you know, I still think people should check it out. This is not the Tomorrowland review show, so I'm not going to get too deep into my thoughts about it. But I would say that there was things that were in the movie that I was like, if that was in the trailer, people would be excited about the movie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, there was a lot of things I was like, wow, that was awesome. I was like, that was cool.
It looked like they were saving everything for the big reveal in the movie, but there was no hook to get people in the movie.
Right.
I mean, some of the scenes in there were absolutely phenomenal, and I was like, oh, this is so cool, and yet where was this in the ads? Where was this where they play everything else, like when the Cinderella ads, I mean, they played almost the entire movie.
Well, we know what happens in
Tomorrowland ad, like nothing at all. You didn't even get Tomorrowland, so
no. Yeah, I think it's interesting, like, it's kind of like, you know, like we want Disney as a movie studio to put out new movies with original concepts that are fun and exciting, and that, you know, obviously there's different writers, different filmmakers. Just because it's Disney doesn't mean that it's going to be the same exact thing and it's always going to be, you know, something that we all enjoy. But, you know, it seems as that they've just decided as a company to be like, you know what, we're not really going to go for that. We're not going to take gambles, which they can obviously afford to do with Avengers making, you know, so much money. Obviously, no matter, every Star Wars movie is going to be successful. There's no way that, you know, like, they can have their, like, you know, these are our big franchises that we know that we're, you know, we're not going to lose our shirt. But let's do something that may not be a hit out of the gate. And that's, you know... And again, that's more of a fan talking. That's not a business talking. But
no,
it seems
totally.
That for years, Disney was able to ride that line. Particularly, I think Michael Eisner did a pretty good job of that. You know, a lot of people have mixed feelings about Michael Eisner running the company. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think they was able to kind of – I mean, you know, during Michael Eisner, we got Who Framed Roger Rabbit. You know, I don't think that a movie like that could be made
mm-hmm.
right now under Bob Iger's and the way that he runs the company.
Yep.
Well, I think it's about trying to find a balance, really. Because, I mean, if you want to do some remakes, that's fine. But, you know, maybe just don't make that your primary source of, like, filmmaking. Be a little more discerning. If, you know, if you're going to do a remake, do it because you've got a really good idea or something really interesting to do, not just because you think it's probably going to be successful. I think the remakes do have a place, because I think that part of the, you know, part of this is reintroducing the classic Disney characters and brands to a new generation, really, right. by, you know, doing kind of these updates. But I just wish they could kind of temper it more with trying to kind of balance that with, like, new properties.
Well, you kind of touched on something else I wanted to bring up. I'm sorry, I talked over. What did you say, Roxy?
I said I totally agree.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I agree as well. I would say it definitely should be a balance. But the thing that comes up with all these live-action remakes is, what is Disney canon? You know, like, it's something I've touched on when we talked about Maleficent, and it was something that was addressed, or not addressed, but something that came up as an issue with Alice in Wonderland 2010. Since the character design was such a drastic departure from the, you know, the animated version, it's kind of like, what? And then particularly as theme park fans, it's like, uh-huh. if kids grow up and see all these live action adaptations and then they go to the parks and see the animated representations, it's kind of like, well, that's not that. And that sucks. You know, that was part of the fun of going to the parks as a kid, is be able to go, you know, step into the movies, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that they would save a bunch of money and perhaps make, you know, a tidy profit instead of, like, doing all these, like, live-action remakes if they just focused on maybe doing, like, remaster and theatrical releases of their pre-existing
Probably
cartoons?
Not. I feel like they've tried to do that. And, I mean, with the home video market, that is obviously done. And then I think their big attempt at that was that they started re-releasing the films in 3D. Not that long ago. I know they had
Nightmare Before Christmas.
That was the first one they did years back, but I'm talking like as of not that long ago.
Yeah, just a couple of years ago. Yeah, they re-released a bunch of them.
Lion King, Little Mermaid, and I believe Beauty and the Beast. And I don't know if Little Mermaid actually made it. I think that got canceled. But Lion King was like some huge financial success like a few years ago, the re-release. And then Beauty and the Beast like was not at all, and then they just stopped doing it.
They also released Peter Pan back out in the movie theater.
Really?
For a short time.
I don't remember that.
They did. Oh God, what else did we go and see? I remember. I took my son to see basically everything that they re-released when it came back out in the theater. And yeah, we had a blast just, you know, going. But it was only released for like a weekend, and then, you know, it went away.
Yeah, I mean, because that was part of my growing up as well, is going, you know, I saw Cinderella in the theater probably two cycles, you know, because, you know, I saw Snow White in the theater on the big screen, 101 Dalmatians, so, you know, and that was what Disney did kind of before home video market took over, you know. I'm not, you know, if they're introducing it to a new generation, what is canon? Like, what, you know, like... When they, you know, I talked about this last year, Maleficent. Like, I want to, you know, I kind of wanted to see Angelina Jolie inspired Maleficent in the theme parks. And that's just not happening. You know, I'm not.
Well, it's tough. Sorry, go ahead, Adam.
I was going to say, well, I think that's kind of. I mean, I think that's somewhat addressed with like the fact that they have like multiple theme parks. I think different versions of characters have different places. I mean, I think Magic Kingdom and Disneyland are basically kind of home to the classic.
Right.
Like that's where like the classic version. But then you got places like Disney California Adventure and Hollywood Studios in particular, where they, you know, they're a little more suited to these new characters. Because wasn't it, I believe, California Adventure? I don't think they have it anymore, but for the longest time, didn't they have, like, the Mad Tea Party that was
It was back for a little bit, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think that you could have gotten... I mean, you can get away with anything, but I don't think you could have gotten away with putting the Mad Tea Party at Disneyland.
Right.
No. Well, it's like Adam said earlier, you know, we didn't really talk about it then, but we need a DCU. We need a Disney Cinematic Universe, just like Marvel has the MCU, so that there's stuff that's canon in the comic books and there's stuff that's canon, you know, in the live action movies and S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, Disney needs the same thing. It needs to separate the two and have the original animation canon and then the live action canon.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, let's explore that a little bit here. There's all these live action films, right? And of course, I was going to bring this up when we talk about Creeping Soon. The movie I'm waiting for, just you know, Buster's Haunted Mansion, is the Magic Kingdom movie, which is for people unaware, is supposed to be Night at the Museum, but set at Disneyland kind of thing. So if we're going to talk about having that, it's like, you know, that. So the premise of that kind of saying, let's just go along with the Magic Kingdom movie. So the premise of that is that all these worlds and characters are real, but they stay within their rides. But obviously they have to coexist. Right? So in the era of the MCU, I think that we all want that. I don't think that when the Magic Kingdom movie finally gets made, that there's going to be totally, completely new interpretations, separate from the live action adaptations, even of the classic characters.
Yeah, because now we're talking about the rides and the characters on the rides, so it's a whole different.
It's going to get crazy. Or is there going to be like, are there going to be cartoons? Is it going to be like Fred Roger Rabbit?
But like Disney already has in the park, they already have that kind of, like, they've set that precedent because you can see the characters from different things interact with each other, which is right. One of my favorite things. You know, if you're lucky enough to be in the park when the face characters are out and you get to see the characters from different movies and different, you know, genres and whatnot interact with each other, I think that's really, really cool.
Right.
So they already kind of know how to do it because they give those people training. So as far as the movie goes, I would assume they're just going to continue, you know, they just continue to do what they do.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not questioning that. I'm saying, but these are going to be different interpretations from the recent live action interpretations. So it just gets a little crowded is what I'm saying.
Can I just say that what I think we really need, and it's never, ever going to happen, but what I think we just need is a Kingdom Hearts movie.
Yes, right, nice.
I mean, it's like it really already exists. Like the blended Disney universe exists. It's called Kingdom Hearts.
It's true. Yeah,
it is, and it's amazing. And as a side note, if anybody is seeing the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer, comment and let me know how you like it because I love it. Sorry.
You have
okay.
This super move where you summon like the teacups to attack people. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's yeah. It just looks so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can get behind that, Adam. I think that's a brilliant idea.
I think they would make so much money if they just got whatever red tape out of the way. Give us maybe a CGI or animated Kingdom Hearts movie.
Yeah. Oh, I think it would be perfect as CGI. You'd have to.
Yeah.
Because you have to. You know, Sora and Donald and Goofy already have that look. So, oh, that.
Yeah.
Be
there's
cool.
No way it's live action. Yeah, it has to be animated.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I thought you meant live action. I was like,
No.
All bad.
I was like, what?
I can imagine that. I would revolt, actually. I mean, like, we're talking about a franchise that I love and hold near and dear to my heart. And if they did a live action movie, I would sit outside Walt Disney Studios and just protest by myself with signs.
I would like, join you. Don't worry.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. Thank you.
But, I mean, does Kingdom Hearts have that, like, brand awareness? Like outside of Disney fans, because I don't really see it.
Well, yeah, they do for the video game part. I mean, it still has people that enjoy the Final Fantasy aspect. Some of them also enjoy the Kingdom Hearts games because it really ties those two together.
As a big, big video game geek, I would argue that Kingdom Hearts is one of the most prestigious franchises in video games today. It's like every time anything comes out about a new actual main Kingdom Hearts game, people just flip their minds.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of a big deal in the video game world.
Well, I'm saying outside of the video game world. You know, like, as a, like, do you think it have legs to be a successful film to, like, outside of Disney fandom and outside of the video game fans?
I kind of think so. I mean, for the same reasons I think kind of Roger Rabbit did. I mean, if you start showing some people who didn't know what Kingdom Hearts are, a trailer that's got, like, you know, like, Goofy and Donald chilling with like Ariel the Little Mermaid and like Simba. People are going to get real interested real quick in what's going on there.
The biggest thing about it, the biggest draw about it would be that it appeals to so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Like it could be huge.
And Disney has already done this with Avengers. I mean, you've got people that have never read an Avengers comic book in their entire life, let alone watch anything like that, and here they made these movies and they're pulling all of these people in. It's absolutely insane. People have never read a comic book before are like, oh my god, I love Avengers. So I think it's definitely possible.
So kind of directing back to the topic of like the Disney slate and all that, can I ask a question? Because this is something that I've been feeling a lot lately, and I'm curious if other people are feeling this too, is that I'm kind of feeling like I'm kind of feeling like over announcement fatigue, I think is probably the right word at moment.
Yeah.
Because this is like, you know, especially like I said, I'm really into like the whole video game thing. This is a huge problem there, but I'm kind of tired of like companies, you know, Disney is certainly guilty of this, so desperate for our approval and for us to be excited that they're like, we got this really cool thing and it's not coming out anytime in the conceivable future. And it's just kind of like
10 years.
You have to wait 5 years to see this, but we're going to tell you about it now.
Like, how long have we been waiting for Avatar Land, for example? It's like, and it still feels like the end's not in sight on that. It's like, I'm tired of being given stuff that's not going to happen in the reasonable future. I kind of wish companies would start maybe waiting until they're really ready to do something or show something before telling us about it.
Maleficent is the perfect example. Why do we need to know about it? Angelina Jolie hasn't even signed on.
Right.
Right.
Well, we did not need to know.
Well, I think these are not official announcements. I think that's the problem with most of these, mm-hmm. is that these websites are so like hungry for movie news that, you know, one person overhears this and then they love that and then they confirm that. And then they have like, you know, a quote unquote article, which is really the headline drawn into a few different sentences. And then that kind of translates into the modern day announcements. I think that's a lot of what this is, in all honesty, you know. And I mean, the Avatar Land thing is an exception, because I'm sure they wanted that to come along a lot faster than it is.
Well, yeah, nobody cares anymore.
Yeah. I don't think anybody cared when they announced it.
I was going to say, I don't think anybody really cared when they announced it was happening. So
I love to see something else. I care. Not because like I particularly love the movie, but... you know, for me, it was just kind of like, wow, that's a really odd choice, but man, is that going to probably be pretty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, as a theme park fan, you're like, oh, that's cool. I want to go to that. When they announced it in 2011, now it's I think it's they don't have a date yet still, but I think it's like 2017 is when they're talking about it.
Right. It's like, oh, my gosh.
That's ridiculous.
And you're like, you know, if you want to get into that, you know, that's the time old thing where it's like, meanwhile, you know, in that time, what do we got? You know, Diagon Alley, the most incredible immersive theme park land ever created, was made in like a year and a half. So it's like,
yeah, you kind of like sometimes you kind of wonder like, what's going on, Disney? Can't you get the lead out just a little bit?
Well, that's perfect.
It was a damn magic band. It took all the money.
Yeah, well, that's basically the problem about Disney World. But you know, as far as all that stuff that, you know, we'll see what's announced. You know, D23 Expo is coming up. We'll see what actually is announced. But it looks to me that Walt Disney World isn't really getting too much too soon, and they're probably going to see some new things at Disneyland before we hear about anything else coming to Walt Disney World at all.
I think the big problem with over-announcing things is that it's the carrot on the stick. And Adam, like you said, video game world has been doing it and overdoing it for years, and so we could totally go on for that.
That's for another podcast hour. Yeah.
But you know, especially Disney, it's that carrot on a stick. Here, you know, pay attention to this, and by seeing this, it's going to want to draw people into the park more to make more money. You know, and especially with investors too, when they announce something, oh, we're going to do this, people will want to invest in the company as well.
Oh yeah, that's definitely for stock reasons when they make announcements.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, people look towards them more. I'm sure their stock goes up. So it's definitely all money driven, and especially you know when it comes to people, the carrot on the stick to keep them interested. And I agree with you. I hate it as well, because it's like, oh, okay, cool. They announced something and, oh, it might have a release date. Like, I'm super looking forward to the Haunted Mansion, but, you know, nothing. So, anywho, I agree.
I want news. Okay, I want real news. I want a fully fleshed out news article about an item that we can talk about and has all kinds of information to get excited about. I do not want, hey, there's a chance that we might, maybe, perhaps, make this 4 years from now. Dude.
Yep.
Okay, on a positive tip, out of the slate, something that I am actually surprisingly excited about, because I was doing a little bit of research for this, Jungle Book.
Yes.
Jon Favreau, Bill Murray, Idris Elba, freaking Christopher Walken as King Louie.
Yep, I'm excited. Like,
that sounds pretty awesome, actually.
Jon Favreau, just to like out the gate, is awesome.
I love him. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's supposed to be doing the Magic Kingdom movie, like, please, please let the Jungle Book. Everyone go see Jungle Book so that it's successful, so that we get our Magic Kingdom movie.
Okay? It's Bill Murray as Baloo the Bear. How awesome is that?
It's so perfect. I just want to cuddle Bill Murray all the time anyway, so having him as Baloo. Oh,
I can't quite tell from James' face how he feels about this.
I'm definitely interested in the movie, but I'm still kind of skeptical of what the actual movie is going to be. Are they going to try to use animals, or are they going to look like real animals in CG? But they talk.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting how you tackle that.
Yeah. You know, I'm just like,
Released something about it?
I haven't seen anything. Mm-mm. I mean, yeah.
I think they should put Bill Murray in a Baloo Disneyland costume.
I would be so- yes, that's how it should be. They should just all be in the mascot costumes. They have the Talking King Louie one now from Mickey the Magical Map. Good to go.
Wow, so it looks like a high school production of the Jungle Book.
Adam, that is the greatest idea ever. Just pay attention. Make this happen.
Well, there was a show that was on the Disney Channel when I was a younger person on Earth. I think it's called Dumbo's Circus or something like that. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it.
I think I remember that.
That's pretty much what it was. Is that it was almost like the Parks costume. It was a live action show.
Yeah.
Their mouths didn't move. They moved their head around.
They had a Winnie the Pooh show like that.
Yeah. It was the same thing. Yeah,
I remember. Yeah. I definitely remember the Winnie the Pooh show. That where it was. Yeah, just like the mascot costumes, like wandering around waving at people. Yeah.
They were just... Okay. I had to look it up. I totally remember this. Oh my gosh! I loved the cat. She was awesome.
I don't remember.
I'm sorry. My bad, y'all.
Wow, this show has really gone all over the place here. But that's you know, with the open-ended topic that like this, you never know where it's going to lead us.
I do have a question, actually. There's a movie under future releases called The BFG, and it's a co-production partners with DreamWorks Pictures, Amblin Entertainment, and it's a book by Roald Dahl. Sorry, I think I'm saying his name wrong. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of this book. Do you guys know?
I don't think about it.
Big Friendly Giant.
Is that... No. Ooh. Oh, sheesh. I do know that book.
It's about a big friendly giant.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't it Roald Dahl? Isn't his name Ronald?
No, I think it's Roald Dahl.
Is it Roald?
It's R-O-A-L.
Road Dog.
That's his name.
Dog.
That's it. Now it's Road Dog.
I believe this film is just being distributed by Disney. I think they have some kind of deal with DreamWorks Live Action, not to be confused with the DreamWorks animated films, to distribute them. And so I think that's what this is.
Well, no, the article is saying that it's being co-produced by Walt Disney Pictures, DreamWorks Pictures, Amblin Entertainment, and Walden Media. And it's being directed by Steven Spielberg.
Well, I guess they're getting all back together. I'll tell you one thing. For me, I hope that this movie is a slam dunk blockbuster hit, because then Steven Spielberg will finally allow them to make a sequel to Roger Rabbit, because he has not allowed it to happen because he is a co-owner.
He's a big fat meanie.
So if there's a world where I could see a Magic Kingdom movie and a sequel to Who Framed Roger Rabbit, it's a world I want to live in.
Well, you know, it was like rumored a couple years ago, and I was really wish this had come to fruition. But do you remember reading there was like a whole thing a couple years ago where they were thinking about doing one of the old Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin films, but with like Roger Rabbit and Mickey Mouse?
I forget what it was called.
I can't remember. The Stooge. Yes, yeah. It was a Stooge.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That would be so cool.
Can we make this happen? Because that would just be
Here's the thing. The overall thing that I'm getting from all this is that, yeah, make your remakes, make your blockbusters, but you could totally make all these other movies. They don't have to be released theatrically, you know, like if you're worried about, you know, having to market a film to the theaters. You know, put them to home video or whatever. But
send them straight to Netflix.
I mean, Disney's already working with Netflix on a lot of things. I think that I think that that would make a lot – that would make their core audience really happy, and I don't feel like that would really take a, that big of a hit, you know, to the bank account. Well, I believe we have said all we had to say about this, jumbled up Creeping Soon. We don't have much information about these two films, but I hope, you know, Maleficent 2, you know, let's find a little bit more about where you're going with the story. Night on Bald Mountain, I think that's going to be, I think visually at least, it's going to be awesome. So
yes, if they can do one thing, we know they can make a pretty movie.
Yeah, but are they going to make him talk? I don't know. I'm on the fence.
Well, we don't know. We don't know anything.
Yeah,
we
know nothing. I'm always on the fence, so.
So just to be clear,
the differences between us. Katie is always on the fence, and I am always yes, go for it. I will see it no matter what.
So positive. Just to be clear for our listeners, we don't want to think that we're misleading you, thinking that we need all this information. We are just having a fun conversation of what if. I don't want to be like, well, I listen to them and they don't even know what's in the movie. You know, we don't
Kingdom
have any.
Kingdom Hearts movie is real.
Okay, yeah. It's good. maybe you guys could chime in. Yeah, I want it, listeners, not you guys talking to me. Could chime in and like, what do you think about these movies being made and what's going to be in them? You know, and we'll see what happens.
Then we could do a follow up episode and read everybody's comments. Mm-hmm. Yay!
And we can all live together, happily ever after, in Creepy Kingdom.
Creepy Kingdom compound.
Yes.
Did we say that on the air? I don't think we talked about it on the air.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, we talk about the Creepy Kingdom compound off the air. Sorry, guys.
They're welcome. Everyone's welcome at the Creepy Kingdom compound, as long as you're creepy and like Disney and, oh, yeah.
Short fees.
Yeah, there are lots of rules.
Never mind, I lied. There's all kinds of rules for being in the Creepy Kingdom compound. Not everyone is welcome. Peasants!
I was going to say, did you forget who you were for a moment?
My bad.
Quite a personality roller coaster you got going on over there.
I'm sorry. I'm hungry. I need candy. I need a hot dog pizza stat.
Great.
Once again, off air, I'm pretty sure.
Alrighty, we'll see what happens, but I think that's going to wrap it up there. So why don't we do our roll call here, tell people where to find everybody. Adam, you're up to bat.
My Twitter handle is fanboy_Adam at Twitter, and I also write for a video game website called middleofnowheregaming.com, and yeah, I'm just awesome in general.
Right on, awesome in general. Adam, Cupcake?
You can find me on Twitter. I am cupcake_terror. And on Instagram, I am cupcake terror, all one word. And I don't write for anybody and I don't have my own podcast.
So sad.
Cute.
But that's okay because I make up for cupcake terror.
Coach, true.
We're going to make this really easy. You can find me at welcometoroxysworld.com. All of my social media information is on my website, welcometoroxysworld.com, including my other podcast, Roxy's World, and Kirby Cutie Chat.
Bam. Once again, want to give another reminder that Creepy Kingdom is going on break until July 31st, 2015. We'll miss you, but you don't have to miss us, because now is the perfect time to go back and check out some of our fantastic older episodes. If you enjoy what we do over here at Creepy Kingdom, you can leave us a review in the iTunes store, preferably a 5-star review. And I'd like to share some of our recent 5-star reviews. From SM Designs, awesome, awesome show. I'm a huge horror fan as well as a Disney fan, and this show combines the best of both worlds. The host is awesome, Thank you, I agree. And humorous, I definitely agree. And I love all the different topics they cover. It adds a lot of variety and gives us insight into the creepier side of Disney. Highly recommended. This show is for anyone who is a Disney or horror fan or just someone who loves creepy things. Thank you for that lovely review. This next review is from Ali O'Malley. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. This show is by far the creepiest, entertaining, and the most funniest podcast you can ever listen to. Well, that was sweet. Thank you very much. And if you would like to hear your 5-star review read right here on this very podcast, just leave us one in the iTunes store. And if you would like to get in touch with us here at the show, just send us an email, creepykingdom@gmail.com. And if you'd like to check out any of our other podcasts, Curvy Cutie Chat, the Even James the Podcast, which will be ending after 8 years this July, and Roxy's World, your one-stop shop is monstermoviemedia.com. And for cosplay and fan art pics of the creepy Disney variety videos, show notes, and links to all of our social media, Pinterest, Tumblr, Google+, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, just go to creepykingdom.com. But we have lots of awesome things planned, a lot of events that we're going to be going to and covering, such as Scare LA, San Diego Comic-Con, and of course the D23 Expo, and most importantly, the premiere of the Dark Side of Disney documentary, which Roxy and I will be appearing at live in person. So many great things coming up. So when we return, we'll be back with a bang. Well, until next time,
keep it crazy.
I have to go now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.